I'd like to read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. And he entered again into Capernaum after several days. And it was reported that he was at the house. And straightway many were gathered together, so that there was no longer any room, not even at the door. And he spoke the word to them. And there come to him men bringing a paralytic, borne by four, and not being able to get near him on account of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, and having dug it up, they let him down, let down the couch on which the paralytic lay. But Jesus, seeing their faith, he says to the paralytic, "Child, thy sins are forgiven thee." But certain of the scribes were there sitting and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man thus speak? He blasphemes. Who is able to forgive sins except God alone?" And straightway Jesus, knowing in his spirit that they are reasoning thus within themselves, said to them, "Why reason these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise, take up thy couch and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he says to the paralytic, "To thee I say, arise, take up thy couch, and go to thine house." And he rose up straightway, and having taken up his couch, went out before them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it thus." The Lord Jesus comes to Capernaum and appearedly has a house there. And it says in the note, "at home," in the sense of not being away on a journey. And he comes to his home, and this place where he has. And it was reported he was there. And many gathered together. You can understand, you know, the Lord being able to heal. The Lord be able to meet every condition. And if it was announced in Worthing that someone who could meet every condition, you could not have, everybody would be here with persons that were ill or in need of help. But actually, the wonderful thing is that the Lord has more than the healing of the body and mind. He has the healing of man's condition in mind. And so there should actually be even more folk. But why? May God bring you to be aware of your condition outside of God. Sinful state that we're in. We sin because we're sinners. It's innate. It comes out. And it's not that we have to our children, "Would you quit being good? You've been too nice to your sister today." You know, it just doesn't happen that way. Even at a very young age, there's the assertion of will. Oh, yeah. We're surprised how young it is. We're going, "Whoa!" And my son is going, "This early, you know." It's a little one, but already, absolutely, she knows her own mind. It's not to do what mom and dad want, no. And then off, very soon, and it's good, you want independence, but one of the little phrases, I can do it myself. Like, it's just like the first thing. I can do this myself. And anyways, the flesh is in there. But this is a paralytic. And you say, well, what kind of sins could a paralytic do? You know, they aren't able to. You know, this speaks of sin, the curse of the fall, and sin has fallen on all mankind. So even an innocent baby dies because it has this sin nature, and it may not have done sin, but we all have to face this matter of death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Man has been sinning and dying all the way through. There is no exceptions. There wasn't this super good guy who's still living today who... No, everyone. And it's something that seems maybe far out. Death seems far out to a young person, or maybe even you today. Death does not seem real close. Okay? And in that way, you may put it off. But it is. It can be, your life can change in an instant. Your whole life can change, and death can be right there. So the gospel's presented for today, for now. And the matter of your sin needs to be dealt with now. And what I like here in this parable is that they come to him, men bearing a paralytic born by four. There's these persons that are concerned about this man. And that may be you today. Persons concerned as to your soul. Four persons bearing this paralytic. That's a fine thing. You should be thankful for that. Person's concern for your soul. And then on the other side of the fence, knowing Christ, are you really concerned for the soul of your neighbor, your sister, your brother, your acquaintance? Are we really concerned for their soul? These four were. They were marked by faith. And they come up, and it's all blocked off. There's all these people are there. Now, fatalism says, well, it's obvious it wasn't God's will, so let's go home. All these people are here, let's go. No. They overcome obstacles. They know that to bring the soul in touch with Christ is blessing, right? Right? This is really important. Bringing the soul in touch with Christ, they didn't have blessing themselves. But to point the soul to Christ. And this is the job of the preacher. This is the job of the soul. Bring the soul in touch with Christ. So a woman has a flux of blood for 35 years. She touches the hem of his garments. Soul brought in touch with Christ. That's so important. And willing to climb the roof, to rip up the roof, to lower him down, to bring him in touch with Christ. The four realize what's at stake. Your soul, the battle for your soul is what's at stake. And Satan would have your soul, but the Lord Jesus has paid the price to redeem your soul. And it's just wonderful to see these four. And to see persons concerned about the soul. People are very concerned about the body. And our neighbor got a note that found out that he had a terrible cancer. And the diagnosis was really grim. And him and his wife and his son were in shock as to the diagnosis. Actually, the diagnosis of Scripture about the matter of your soul is even more serious. And If he needs to touch you in your health, your finances, or in some way, and that brings about the salvation of your soul, it's worth it. Okay? Your soul is so precious. And the Lord Jesus knew that. The Lord Jesus knew and had this love. And he went all the way to the cross. He knew. But the redemption of the soul, it says, is costly. It can't just be redeemed. It can't just be a series of good works or a program or accomplished by men. So you have to have clarity as to who is Christ. And that comes in here too. They do not realize who's sitting in this room. Who can forgive sins but God, right? Who is this that calms the wind and the waves? Who is Jesus? Really important question. Once you get clarity on who Christ is, then you see how he can accomplish that wondrous work on the cross. Who is he? Well, who do you know that lives a life of such perfection, of such holiness, of such pleasure to God, of such blessing to men, of words of truth and grace that they've never heard again? People are amazed at what they see here. John says to his disciples, "Are you the Christ?" Well, just go back and tell them, "The blind see, the lame are healed." You know, there it is. There it is. No man. Nobody can compare to Christ. Nobody has the power of Christ either. Wonderful thing. So it says, they dug it up, they let him down on the couch. In verse 5 it says, "But Jesus, seeing their face, says to the paralytic, 'Child, thy sins are forgiven thee.'" Very provocative. He full well knew the Pharisees were sitting there, and people were coming for healing, but he was preaching the word. And I think the word dealt more with, it was to do with men's souls. And yes, he was there. He had the power to heal. But here he is, he's saying, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." How could he say that? Only if he was going to the cross. Only if he was committed to paying off that debt. So, yes, only he could do that, though, because only he could redeem. So, he could actually say, "Thy sins are forgiven." This is very interesting, too, because there's a young boy just reading the scriptures, and a priest had this confessional, and to him it was a new thought. He says, "Do you actually have the power to forgive sins?" Now, normally if an adult had had this priest, asked the priest that question, he would have schlepped it off or, you know, given some sort of answer. But a little child asking, "Do you really have the power to forgive sins?" That just stuck. And you come to... And they're right, only God has, but only Christ, okay, has the power. By being the substitutionary offer, by taking your sin, becoming the sin bearer, he who knew no sin was made sin. It was an awful thing, you know, for the Lord Jesus to become the sin bearer. It was a horrible thing. He loved righteousness, and he hated lawlessness, and he hated what was evil. He hated sin. And to become the sin bearer, it was awful. He speaks of it, "If this cup can be passed from me." It was an awful thing. But he was prepared to give all, to secure first the glory of God. You see, the sin of man primarily, sin is first against God. And so you have, "I've sinned against heaven and before thee," says the prodigal son. That's very accurate. When we sin And we do so. It's not against our parents. I mean, it may affect our parents. It's primarily against God. Mm. Right? And then against others. Mm. It's defiance against God. Are you stronger than God? Do you think you're stronger than God? Mm. Do you think you can defy God? Oh, men do today. Proud, boasty words. Mm. Defying God. No, they cannot defy God. For a time, in his patience, he waits. He does not visit evil right away. As soon as you send a lightning bolt, no. Can you imagine? If God should mark your iniquity, which one of us would stand, you know? But he's moving in grace. He will move in judgment. But at the present time, he's moving in grace. And the present time is the time of opportunity for you. And so it says here, which is easier to say to the paralytic, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to take up thy couch and walk. Wow. The matter of sin is so great. And he is able for this tremendous matter of sin. He says, I say to thee, so that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. So again, the person getting clarity as to the Lord Jesus. And this is what I liked about that hymn, you know. God really in the glad tidings is presenting Christ before our eyes. Rise, my soul, behold, 'tis Jesus. Jesus fills thy wondering eyes. Yes, Jesus went to the cross. Yes, he suffered. Yes, he was buried. But he is risen today. What does that mean? What is the significance of that? That means the weight of sin wasn't so much that it kept him in the grave. There was more there in the sacrifice of Christ. And I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again. He was raised by the glory of God. The sacrifice was sufficient. If Christ be not raised, we are yet in our sins. You see how he brings that in. And he just makes it so clear that if it wasn't sufficient, we have no gospel to preach. But hallelujah, he is. Not to the eye. He only appeared to his own afterwards. It's not to the eye of the natural man. The natural man cannot perceive him. But if by faith you accept the witness of Scripture, you accept the Word of God, you bow the knee to Jesus, you appropriate his substitutionary death for you, it's made good in your soul. And he would give you assurance. He would give you assurance. He would give you the peace that we spoke about this afternoon, which comes from above. So that no matter what you're going through in life, you have the peace of God in your soul. Wondrous, wondrous thing. Glorious thing. Wonderful to lay hold of. Now think about the paralytic again. Think about somebody who really can't function. Think about the man in Acts, paralyzed at the gate beautiful. And he rises up and he leaps and he jumps and he goes and he up and he worships God. We can live. We can live spiritually. This my son was dead. His son wasn't physically dead. But we are dead in sin and offenses. And Christ is bringing life. I do not understand why people refuse to take the life that is being offered in Christ. It makes no sense. But then sin is irrational. Sin does not make sense. that your worst enemy is yourself. Do thyself no harm. You know? Sin, absolutely. And Satan is seeking whom he may destroy. Deceive. Lies. Christ is presenting the truth. Christ is presenting life. But it's in a person. It's not really complicated. It's in a person. It's in Christ. Embracing Christ. Taking him for your own. Taking what is being offered in the gospel. Brings life. Transformative life. And that's the wonderful thing. He takes up his couch and he walks out. That would have been very dramatic. Very dramatic. No power to walk before. Power to walk now. Persons under the control of various things. Lives transformed. You know, there's no witness like the witness of the transformed life. Right? Transformed lives. And it's just shining. It's there. What caused it? Well, the eye goes back to the Lord. As the man is walking out with his couch, you know that. Wow. And who gave this power? Glory to God. Glory to God. He's met it in a man. The man Christ Jesus. And it had to be a man too. But it had to be a divine offering too. It's all wondrous, holy mystery in a way, but it's all there. Both satisfying the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, and the need of man. We had a lady in our homeschool group that was an atheist family. She was diagnosed with cancer, and she was walking on the dike with her husband, and she says, "You just go ahead, you know, and I just need to have some time by myself." And she said, "God, if you're real, make yourself known to me." And she opened her eyes. Somebody had dropped a cross on the gravel. And she picked up the cross, and it was like a sign from God to her soul. So we went with trepidation to visit her in the hospital, knowing she was atheist and all this, and we found that God had gone before. God, cry out to God. Lord, make yourself real in my life. I need to know that you're there. And those that call upon him, call upon. Now, many men, we met a chap, he was on the edge of a cliff, and he's about to fall out, and he said, "God save me," and God did. In a certain sense, a creator God can step in at any time, but he wants to be known as a savior God. He wants to be known as a savior God. And the Spirit of God would bring you to a real knowledge of your true state. And may your soul cry out to God, "I need a Savior. I need the Lord Jesus. I need you." And he will make himself real to you. The soul that desires to draw near to God, God will draw near to him. Wonderful thing. Laid hold of in faith. You believe his word. You trust his name. And he makes it good in your soul. And so it says here, the Son of Man has power. I love that. I love that. Not talk. Power. That's what's needed today. Divine power in expression. In believers. And how does that happen? As we're reminded in the reading, he that believes is sealed by the Holy Spirit. He gives you salvation and then the power to live by his Holy Spirit. The neighbor boy said, if people had just told me how wonderful it was to have the Holy Spirit, I would have become a Christian long ago. That's the idea. The filling of the Spirit gives us the power, gives us the life, gives us the direction. And then we can move. We know how to act as under the direction of Christ. our Lord Jesus. You submit to him. You bow to his word. You bring your life in accordance to his word. You turn from sin. Really important. Deep and thorough repentance. Mm-hmm. What got you into this trouble? Sin. Mm-hmm. Well, if sin brings me into bondage, I want to avoid it as much as I possibly can. How can you? Not in your own strength, mm-hmm. but in the power of the Blessed Spirit. Mm-hmm. So God's thought of that too. The God that saves you sustains you. This is really good. Zephnath Paniah was the name of Joseph. Sustainer of life. Good. Wonderful title of Christ. Sustainer of life. This whole universe was created, but it's also sustained. So to me, the origin is important. And that's wonderful that God started. But the actual sustaining of life is just as much a miracle as the creation of life. He sustains everything. And in creation, so in his moral universe. In creation, the light comes in. In his moral universe, the light comes in. And this light, the way John puts it in 1 John, parallels Genesis 1 so much. The light's coming in. It's bringing life. It's bringing light. It's bringing blessing in a person in Christ. So you have the natural, and you have the moral universe. All will come under his reign. One day every knee shall bow, and men will bow to Christ. But today is the day that his call would go out. And his call, come unto me, ye that labor and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Rest to your souls. I'm finding it difficult to get rest for my body. My time's all out of whack. It's important. Having rest for the body. God put the seventh day there, and it's all quite orderly. But rest for the soul. What is this world? It's restless souls. Where's a lot of this unsatisfied, evil souls that are not satisfied? So the Son of Man has power. I'd leave that with you. The Son of Man has power to completely change your life. He has power to sustain your life. He has power, if you, like these four, see the seriousness of the salvation of souls of others. He has power if you act in faith and seek to bring souls to Christ. He has power. He has power. For his name's sake. Amen.